He gives us an introduction that The teachings of the Lord Chaitanya can be known through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So of course, this is those persons who were directly instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and their disciples, they compiled the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he personally taught them and as he personally demonstrated to them. So this is the authorized biography and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, practically coming from his own actions and his own words to those who would later write this book. So therefore, it is the way to understand Lord Chaitanya is through the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Again, although that would seem logical, generally people don't study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Chaitanya Charitamrita in order to understand him. They just simply give some opinion as to what they think Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and they pass that down to their disciples. So actually Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya means living force. The living entities, we can move, we're active, whereas this table cannot. So although the living force is present in the material condition, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Amrita, in the material condition, the living force is not displaying its immortal qualities. So Chaitanya Charitamrita deals with the character of the living force in immortality. So now the Vedas describe that this immortality belongs to both the Supreme Lord and to the living entity. But there's a difference between God and us, the living entities. The difference is, of course, is that we fall down into the material platform of being conditioned by the material energy, where God never comes under control of the material energy. Indeed, the material energy is actually always controlled by the Supreme Lord. So that although we are both immortal, there is a big difference between God and the living entities, as one is controlled by the material energy, one is the controller of the material energy. Now, from God's perspective, the material energy is very insignificant, the whole material creation. Just as Srila Prabhupada gives a nice example that someone may have the Prime Minister of Australia, if there is some little ants colony, the goings on in that ants colony is not a very significant factor. We don't see that when the next elections coming up to be Gillard and whoever else it may be, that they will present this point. Oh no, in this ant colony there needs to be more organisation, a little bit more sugar, like this, things are not going on. It is insignificant. It never comes up. It's just not a topic. Actually, we saw the Prime Minister, Julian Gillard, when we went to the Werribee Festival. Very nice, the devotees Werribee Way, every year they take the Rathi Yatra cart down through the streets, and of course, it appears like just a little Rathi Yatra festival, but actually a very, very important event, because practically every year, and I've been there, I've seen the Prime Minister sitting there. This year I gave a big wave and smiled, and she emerged and she waved back and smiled. And I was thinking to myself, I know how she got to be Prime Minister, because every year she waves at Jagannath. Jagannath Singh, you're all right. I'll look after you. Anyway, you know, the point is, she's not, you know, particularly interested, not disturbed by the particular ant colonies in the city. So, in essence, you know, the Supreme Lord, you know, the whole material creation, although he takes care of it and maintains it, it is not something that disturbs his personal affairs in any particular way. And of course, another example is that the sun creates clouds, and those clouds can never cover the sun, although they can cover our view, they cover the sun from us. So, you know, in this way, we should understand that Krishna, or God, his incarnations, and even his Nityasiddha devotees, they never actually fall down into the clutches of illusion, ever. It is not an overwhelming force for them. It is quite insignificant. When we look at the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an incarnation of Krishna, not different from Krishna in the form of a devotee, either way, whether we look at him as a devotee or an incarnation of or Krishna himself, all three of those categories are not disturbed by the material energy. So when we look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should understand that he is not a conditioned soul trying to free himself from the material world. That's the first point we should understand about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His activities are in fact the activities of the infallible Lord, but he's acting as a teacher to show us how to approach God. And that's the light that we should study Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a foolish person will look at the teacher and think that, the teacher is writing the ABC on the board and I'm trying to write ABC. Practically, we're on the same level. Because they only seem to be doing the ABCs, I'm doing the ABCs, we're on the same level. That's a very foolish. So actually, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are his teachings? He is teaching the living entities. He is a teacher, he is the Supreme Lord, he's not a conditioned soul, he's not affected by the material energy. What are his teachings? His teachings are exactly the same as Krishna. Basically, to put it in plain words, one should not become entangled in the material activities of this material world. One should revive one's spiritual, eternal spiritual form and activities and return to the spiritual world. That is the teachings of Krishna, and that is the same teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are the immortal activities of the spiritual living force which are taught to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Teachings and examples of how that is done is presented in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Lord Chaitanya's teachings can be differentiated from Krishna only in this sense, that where Lord Krishna's teachings takes off, where Lord Krishna's teachings culminates in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Chaitanya's teachings begin. Lord Krishna's teachings, he left off in the 18th chapter, verse 66, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. So, as Prabhupada points out in his preface to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's a very simple instruction, but invariably the reaction is, all surrender. Give up. I have so many responsibilities. No, I won't be doing that. He says, and Maya says to us, don't do it or you'll be out of my clutches. Just stay in my clutches and I will kick you. This is a bit of opposition. So, And we see that actually all living entities, you know, they are actually being kicked very, very hard by the chiral energy because they're not surrendering to Krishna and coming to the platform of acting as the spirit soul, the platform of immortality. But they take that as their happiness. Srila Prabhupada explains that the strongest shackle that Maya has to attract us, that, you know, don't surrender to Krishna, stay with me, and let me kick you. Now, why would we agree to be kicked by Maya? Because she offers some incentive. And that incentive, or that shackle, we agree to be kicked, we agree to stay with Maya because we're attracted to sex life. That is the ultimate conclusion. So therefore, you know, one, in order to come to the platform of the spirit soul and to surrender to Krishna, of course one has to free oneself from the sex urge. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his personal life, at the age of 24, he renounced took sannyas, even though his wife was only 16 years old, his mother was 70. So, you know, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when persons would come to him and say, yes, I will also give up my family and, you know, I will travel to you, with you as a renunciate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, no, don't be a crazy fellow. There is no need, actually, for one to leave their family, to take sannyas, to become a renunciate. But still, whether you are in the, you know, brahmacharya, sannyas ashram, or whether you're in the grihas ashram, that makes no difference. But the same principle is there, that in any of the ashrams, one has to control the sex urge. And therefore, we see that most Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal followers were grihasthas. Practically, the whole Panchatattva, except for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, so it's not that one has to, you know, artificially take sannyas or, you know, like that. But whether it's a grihastha or any ashram, one still has to control the sex urge. That is a must in any ashram. And like that. And, you know, the acharyas, to the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he mentions it, particularly in Kali Yuga, the grihastha ashram is recommended for most devotees. You know, it's a very safe path. It's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So, but still, you know, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, which is, you know, a very important point, because a lot of people who don't follow the Chaitanya Charitamrita or, you know, try to understand Lord Chaitanya's teachings, they actually see Lord Chaitanya's movement as a movement where you can actually engage in sex life by imitating Krishna and the gopis. So, but when we actually look at Lord Chaitanya, well, how is that possible? Lord Chaitanya is saying, give up sex life. So how is he, you know, it is completely contradictory that he would be, you know, saying, yes, my movement is based upon sex life, imitating Krishna. But that is, makes no sense. But if we actually look at the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will see, you know. So, only then, you know, trying to become detached from the sense gratification of the body, can we actually come to the platform of the immortality of the soul. Like that. And if we want to remain, you know, in a purified spiritual position, then Lord Chaitanya's principal followers, Rupa Goswami, he explains that if you make your ambition to love Krishna, then that very wonderful purified desire purity of heart and the transcendental bliss that one attains by following that ambition makes sense gratification on the bodily platform not very significant. So here, of course, we see some of the differences in the way that Srila Prabhupada approaches the understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For persons outside of ISKCON, if you sit down and ask them about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will immediately jump into, oh, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let us discuss, his separation and moves to Radharani. They will immediately jump to these spiritual topics like this. But Srila Prabhupada, if we want to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to be qualified to hear those topics. And that qualification, as he is describing here, one actually has to get off the bodily platform. So therefore, by following these teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spirit souls can come to their platform of immortality with activities dedicated to spirit to Krishna, and with a goal to attain the spiritual platform of immortality. So now the Mayavadis, they have the view that actually the absolute truth is formless, and of course it's this very impersonalist or voidistic philosophy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soundly defeated. And they use the example that if you have an empty water pot and you bang on it, it makes a lot of noise. So therefore, they're saying that because you are a conditioned soul in a material body, you are making so much sound vibration about the absolute truth, but actually it is because you are covered by the material body. But actually the Vaishnavas say that at self-realization, talking really begins. And because we are a living force, therefore we're not water pots. So the analogy doesn't apply, because if we were water pot, yes, that would apply, but we're not water pots. For a Vaishnava, 24 hours in a day is not sufficient to talk about the Supreme Lord and his activities. But for the fool, it's very convenient, Prabhupada points out, that for a fool it's very convenient to be silent. Because as soon as they open their mouth and speak, then we can understand, oh, the person is a big fool. Because they're speaking so much nonsense about Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have no knowledge at all. So for them, many of the Mayavadis, they speak in very few words, ambiguous words, and it appears that they are very, very elevated. But we know that they are just very easily cheating people. So let us look at the first verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now the Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with 14 Sanskrit verses, and these verses describe the absolute truth. The first of these 14, which we're about to read, is a symbolic representation of the absolute truth. Actually, the entire first chapter is devoted to this, the first verse, which actually describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in six speeches. I see a few people looking up. Don't you mean five? No? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is first described in six speeches. What is the sixth feature? Guru. Very, very important. Yeah. Vande Gurun Ishvaktam Isham Ishvatatam Tatpatasham Sachakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangyakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters. Then we hear the other the categories as well. The devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primary of the Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So, the author begins by first offering his obeisances to the Guru and to the Vaishnava devotees. He then describes the five different manifestations, principal manifestations of the Lord, which we know as the Panchatattva. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embodies these five principles, which we know as the Panchatattva, but he also embodies the sixth principle, which we know as the Guru. Verse 14 describes the Panchatattva. Panchatattva makam vishnam bhakta rupa surupakam bhakta vatharam bhakta kyan namami bhakta shakyakam. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is non-different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. So, let us first look at the first eight understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is gained by seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as non-different from Guru. That is the first understanding. Actually, without taking the first understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot take the other five understandings. The first manifestation is the spiritual master, who appears in two parts, two plenary parts, the initiating spiritual master and the instructing spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada says they are identical because both of them are phenomenal manifestations of the Supreme Truth. So we're going to look at that a little bit, and just in general, referring to the five features, if we just give a little summary of the five features of the Panchatattva. He is God, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is his first manifestation of God, which is Nityananda Swarup, who is non-different from Balaram, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. His first manifestation is Nityananda, who is non-different from Balaram. And we know, of course, from Balaram comes Sankarshan, who is the origin of Mahavishnu. His incarnation is Advaita Acharya, who is another manifestation of, who is the manifestation of Mahavishnu. His internal potency, of whom Giradhara is the foremost, and the marginal potency, or the living entity, of whom Shiva's Thakur is the foremost. So that is the Panchatattva. Why is it necessary to understand or approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to first understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his manifestation as the Guru? So Prabhupada mentions that the instructing spiritual masters and initiating spiritual masters, this is in his Adi Lila, first chapter, report to verse 34. He says they're equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different dealings. Their function is to guide the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami accepted Nityananda Prabhu and the six Goswamis in the category of Guru. So, we see that Nityananda Prabhu is also in the category of Guru. Tat Prabhusan indicates the direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Nityananda Prabhu and the initiating spiritual master. So, we sing the prayer to the Guru every day, Shakshat Dalitve, Samastasaste, And the purport of that is that in all the Shastras, the Guru is accepted as good as Krishna, as good as God. So the first respect is offered the Guru, because the Guru doesn't think that he is God, he doesn't think that I am Krishna, but he's actually collecting devotional services on behalf of Krishna. But the point is, according to the Vedas, we cannot approach Krishna directly. We cannot approach Krishna directly because we are materially conditioned. We don't even know that we should approach Krishna. We don't know that we don't know how to approach Krishna. Even if we thought, yes, I must approach God. Who is God? We don't know. We think, oh, Krishna is God. How do I approach him? And then we think, yes, there is this process, but I'm so conditioned. How do I get out of my conditioning? I'm so attracted to the material energy. It is not possible. You know, what is devotional service? What is pure devotional service? We have no idea. We have no knowledge. We're completely conditioned. So we must get the help of Guru. And the Guru, he cleans us up a bit. You know, he gets all the dirty things out of the heart. He gives us transcendental knowledge. In this way, the Guru paves the way for Tat Prakashan means the Guru, by the process, it is like the light that illuminates God. Nityananda Prabhu also, Tat Prakashan, that Nityananda Prabhu, he illuminates, acting as a Guru. Oh, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the sunshine, we understand that Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have arisen simultaneously, like the sun and the moon on the horizon of water. So, actually, Lord Nityananda Mahaprabhu, he is illuminating what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is revealing, just like when the sun comes up, you can actually perceive everything. We see that when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, Krishna said to give up all these designated dharmas or religious principles based upon a misunderstanding of the eternal constitutional position of the soul. Krishna said, give all those up. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, practically, except for the pandits and a few other devotees, practically no one really cared. They didn't take it seriously. What to speak of now? So 5,000 years ago, Krishna is saying, you surrender unto me, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is manifesting so many wonderful pastimes. And even then, so many people did not take it. What to speak of now, when practically the world is filled with demoniac persons or persons who are, living life like, very animalistic, very, very attached to a low grade of life. So, therefore, we see these days that no one actually says what Krishna actually wants. Krishna wants us to surrender unto him so that we can come to the platform of immortality, but no one speaks that, practically outside of, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision. People, so many hundreds and hundreds of, editions of the Bhagavad Gita represented by so many different movements, and none of them are actually speaking what Krishna actually wants. So therefore we need Guru, because Guru actually represents Krishna. It is said that if one is very expert brahmana in all the principles of brahminical life, but if they're not devoted to Krishna, they cannot become a guru. They have no qualification at all to become a guru. And yet if one is born in the family of dog ears, but they understand what is Krishna, what is Krishna's instructions, that person can become guru. Guru represents Krishna's instructions. That is the main, to canvass exactly on behalf of Krishna. So therefore we see that when the Guru is actually present and they speak what Krishna wants, immediately so many devotees. So we see Srila Prabhupada, he spoke what Lord Chaitanya, he spoke the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya is speaking the same teachings as Krishna, and immediately so many people say, oh yes, now I understand Krishna. That prakasham, everything is revealed. When the Guru speaks, Krishna is revealed. Krishna's instructions, how to serve Krishna, the spiritual world, everything is revealed when the Guru speaks. So one must have, but without Guru, we see that they do not understand Krishna, they do not understand his instructions, and although they speak Bhagavad Gita, they speak Chaitanya Charitamrita, they speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and they cannot reveal God, and therefore no one becomes a devotee. Or they become a pseudo cheating devotee. In other words, they go on with their material life and just give it a different name. They go on with their sex life and call it spirituality. So we see here in order to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one must first approach the Guru, because that is the first manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the first step in realization of God-realization, self-realization. Many people, if you ask them about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, either they may not have heard of him, or if they heard of him, they think, oh yeah, he was a great sadhu, great yogi, like that. Krishna Chaitanya means that he's the original living force, which means that he is Krishna. So, if one follows the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the disciplic succession, actually Krishna is very easily obtained. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution, that from 5,000 years, even in the presence of Krishna 5,000 years ago, people find it very, very difficult to understand Krishna and his instructions. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he makes it very easy that immediately we understand all Krishna. That is his, his contribution. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we have to give up our false attachment and we have to learn to love Krishna instead. So Srila Prabhupada says that therefore we study Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that actually the Chaitanya Charitamrita can only be understood by a very advanced student. And then he says, advanced, anyone can become advanced. He says, advanced means at least one should understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, if you just understand that, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada would often say, you understand these two words, meaning this sentence, these couple of sentences. You understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are a very, very advanced student, according to Prabhupada's own definition. And this is the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because for thousands of years no one can understand what is Krishna. And somehow or another, if we go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu properly, we can understand Krishna. That is his contribution. But don't take it cheaply, because actually that person is very, very advanced, because for thousands of years people cannot do it. Great philosophers. They cannot understand. Prabhupada goes on to say that all Vedic literature is meant for understanding Krishna. So if you understand Krishna, your studies of Vedic literature is finished. The Sama, Yajur, Rig, Atava, the Puranas Mahabharata Ramayana Vedanta Sutra finish. Because all of those literatures are meant to come to that understanding. Krishna is the supreme person of the Godhead. So the Prabhupada says, one may say that are they actually understanding, or are some of your disciples just accepting blindly? Prabhupada says, blindly or openly, it doesn't matter. You still get the benefit. And he gave the example that, if you touch fire, because it's fire, whether you approach it blindly or openly, you're still going to get the effect of the fire. If you approach Krishna, that he is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. I was saying the other day, when I read the Bhagavad Gita, before I ever met the devotees, when Prabhupada said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, I just accepted it. It was like that. But I really didn't understand it, but I accepted it. I remember I used to open up every day just the book, and I'd read something and I'd think, oh, Krishna is speaking to me, God is speaking like that. I just accepted it like that. But in essence, it was just following blindly. But still, the benefit is there. You follow blindly. Once you accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then if even you accept it blindly in the beginning, and then you take the trouble to study all the liturgies over many, many years, you'll come to the same point anyway. As Prabhupada says, after many, many, many lifetimes, after many, many, many lifetimes, the person comes to understand Krishna, which is in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, so if that's the case, why wait? Do it now. You're going to come there eventually. With the hard way, so many different yogic processes and studying the Vedas, you're going to come to that. You might as well just do it now straight from the beginning. How can we do that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to do that, and I am God. Deserving or not deserving, I don't care. You take it, I will be happy about that. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. Therefore we see that the Panchatattva, in one sense, they're all acting as guru to some degree, but specifically we see that Lord Nityananda Prabhu is representing Guru Tattva, as are the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were directly instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada says in the 37th verse of that first chapter that he says, by accepting the six Goswamis as his instructing spiritual masters, the author specifically makes it clear that one should not be recognized as a Gaudiya Vaishnava if he is not obedient to them. So not only is it, it's actually a must. If one has not accepted the direct representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, in the form of the six Goswamis and their teachings, one cannot be considered a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or a Gaudiya Vaishnava. It means they cannot have an understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would, they should not be recognized as a Gaudiya Vaishnava. As Prabhupada points out, that even the most erudite scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to the transcendental sound with a receptive mood. So he describes that this Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing new, nothing manufactured. It is just exactly the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as presented by the six Goswamis. It is not a mental concoction, it's a transcendental literature. And it does not deviate even slightly from any of the revealed scriptures. And therefore you see that Krishna Das Kaviraj, as he goes through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he backs up all his statements with the statements of the Vedic literature. So everything is confirmed by the Vedas. So if we, by understanding the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we come to understand, through the Guru, we come to understand the Panchatattva. And understanding the Panchatattva means we understand the Absolute Truth. This is, you know, something which has been very, very difficult for people to understand for many, many lifetimes, many, many thousands of years. Is God impersonal? Is he, is a personal feature some material manifestation of goodness? Is, you know, is everything void? Is this, you know, is the living entity God? Is, you know, like this. Actually, the philosophical truth is this, that the Absolute Truth is manifested in diversity in one unit. And this philosophical truth is pursuant to the Vedanta Sutra. So this is actually what is taught in the Vedanta Sutra, the conclusion of the Vedas. It's called Achincha Veda Veda Tatva. That everything is simultaneously one with and different from the Absolute Truth. So we'll read this next verse. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Guru Hare Pushpavanto Chacho Sando Tamo Vignanandamayato. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of water to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and by the Acharyas as being non-different from Krishna and Balaram. So, they have appeared like the sun and the moon. Now, what is the business of the sun and the moon? The business of the sun and the moon is to dissipate the darkness. So practically everyone in this material world is in darkness. It means they have no knowledge, mostly on the animal platform. The Srila Prabhupada says, what is the proof? What is the proof that they're in darkness? Is it because they don't know anything about Krishna? Is this the proof that they're in ignorance? Is they're not Krishna conscious? He says, you ask anybody, item by item, what do you know about Krishna? And you find that they're all in darkness, all in ignorance. He says, that's the truth. But one may say, you're saying because you don't know about Krishna, but therefore we're in darkness. What about all the people, the professors and the teachers and the scholars and what have you? Mayaturitigirana means that even though they have their big university degrees and certificates, although they're very advanced in material, so-called civilized life, actually they know nothing of spiritual life. Therefore, their knowledge is covered by just, the material energy. They cannot go beyond knowledge of the material things. Therefore, we see they do not surrender to Krishna. Why? Because they're also Narada, the lowest of mankind. Lowest of mankind means that even though people claim to live a very civilized life in this world, actually they're all committing sinful activities daily, constantly. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meeting. Although people are claiming to be very civilized, actually they're completely immersed in sinful activities. And they're suffering incredibly the result of the reactions of their sinful activities. And there's so much ignorance that they take that suffering as happiness. Sinful, suffering, and think this is enjoyment. This is the darkness which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda came to dissipate. Just like, the life of a pig. They're eating still and they're thinking, yes, this is very good. Or Prabhupada gives the example, a prisoner. One may say, yes, I am in prison, but I'm, you know, there's first class, second class, third class, so I am first class suffering in the prison, I guess. So, you know, again, Prabhupada paraphrases. He says that there's no difference between the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he comes back to the same point. Now, this is an essential point of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, is that it's not different from Krishna. You know, Krishna, he's demanding, you rascal, you surrendering unto me, you are suffering so much, you are a rascal. I'm your father, I want to see you happy, therefore I have come. Surrender unto me, I shall give you protection. So Krishna says, Prabhupada's paraphrasing. You are suffering on account of your duskriti, sinful activities. Accept Krishna consciousness, whatever you do, that is sinful. Basically, you know, Krishna's point of view is, you know, if you're not engaged in Krishna consciousness, you're engaged in sinful activities to one degree or another. Now, one may say, oh, there are so many different varieties of sinful activities apart from these four, but Srila Prabhupada points out, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, that these four are the root of all sinful activities. If they are stopped, basically all sinful activities stop. Yeah. And if one is engaging in those four, practically they're engaging in everything else. Mm. It means that they will get another, you know, a body in this material world. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, their assistants, the Panchatattva, they're all preaching that, you know, you take Krishna's instructions. And if you do this, you know, and they're giving a very easy way to surrender to Krishna, simply chant Hare Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, you know, see the deities, dance in ecstasy, in this way, if you take to Krishna consciousness, you'll be take to these activities, devotional service, you'll develop your love for God, your simple activities will fall away, you'll be fixing your consciousness upon the Supreme Lord, you'll go back to the spiritual world. The next verse is Yadavitam Brahmo Panishatara Prajashat Nuba Ya Atmanta Vyami Purusha Tiso Shamsa Vibhava Saraiswarya Kundoya Na Bhagavan Sa Swayam Mayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Paratatam Param Iha. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord known as the super soul is but his plenary, localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater or equal to him. So here, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is establishing with great stress that there is no greater truth than Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya. They are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no greater truth than them. That is the basic principle that he is establishing there. And, you know, throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives so many Vedic evidences that Krishna is the absolute truth and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, fifth chapter, that you know, in this age of Kali, the Lord appears as a golden avatar, along with his associates and weapons, you know, who are in effect the Panchatattva and their followers, and he, you know, preaches the Sankirtan movement. You know, this is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described in various Upanishads. It is there. There's no doubt that the Vedas confirm that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna, and that Krishna is the absolute truth. As Prabhupada points out, even Shankaracharya actually admitted that. You know. So, you know, so this Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no truth higher than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the principle he's describing there, based upon the Vedic literature. If we concoct something else, if we write, you know, try to present something else as Vedic knowledge, it simply creates a disturbance. And you know, Prabhupada gives examples actually in this section here. Prabhupada gives him. He says you'll find there are so many bhaktas. Now these, we're talking now about bhaktas of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who do not follow the Vedic scriptures as taught to us by Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada says you find so many bhaktas, they're crying, they're falling on the ground, and immediately after they're smoking the bidi. So he's describing this sort of, you know, so-called devotion to Krishna, which is not based upon the Vedic literatures, where somehow or another they're not seeing Krishna as the supreme absolute truth, but something else. Therefore, they're manifesting that, you know, they feel that they're because Krishna is not the supreme personality of Godhead. You know, they're approaching him in a materialistic way, and they're feigning all sorts of devotional activities, devotional ecstasies. And basically, you know, they're still going on with the material activities, and it doesn't disturb them because of their materialistic attitude of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. And you know, Bhaktivinoda, the core described, I think there's about 13 different upasampradayas, so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are just completely bogus because they don't follow the principles of Vedic scriptures as taught to us by the Guru in the form of the instructing spiritual masters and the initiating spiritual masters, originally coming from, you know, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. The first instruction, of course, this is why, as we stressed before, that, you know, the guru, their first business is to get you onto the platform where you're acting as a spirit soul, not as the body. That's the beginning of coming to understand Chaitanya. Krishna described Arjuna that, you know, that he is a spirit soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it in a slightly different way. I am not a Brahman, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishnava, I am not a Sudra. You know, I am none of these things. What am I? I am the eternal servant, the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the Gopis. So, you know, those who remain on the bodily platform and have a materialistic understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna, they always keep themselves in the position of being the master or the enjoyer. Therefore, even, you know, they're executing devotional service, there is a tinge of, there is, a, you know, some deviation, that they are taking the position of approaching the Lord in the mood of, I am the enjoyer, because of their bodily concept of life. But one who takes the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they approach the Lord, I am the servant of the servant of the servant, 100 times removed. Prabhupada says again, he says, one who takes a position as being the servant of the servant of the servant, that person is very advanced. And one who takes the position of the Prabhu, he's going to hell. Same thing. So you see, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are actually very, very simple in one sense. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. I am his eternal servant. I am meant to serve the Supreme Lord for his pleasure. Very, very simple teaching. And yet, as simple as they are, everyone is teaching something else. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just correcting everything in a very, very easy way. So now we get to this verse here, a very important verse. Anaravitam charam chirat guru nayaya vatinaha kalu सर्वान् आयिकाम् उन्नतौजसंसा अपि श्रियम् हरिः कृतः सुन्दरभ्युक्तिकरङ्गा सन्दीपितः सदा हृदयेकान्तरे स्फुरतु मा सचिनन्दनः. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So here, in essence, now we, having cleared the way as to who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and we are his eternal servants. What is, and they have come to remove the darkness. Removing the darkness, what do we see? We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution. This is actually a verse by Rupa Goswami, although it's presented by Krishnadas Kaviraj. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in essence, he doesn't teach a long and elaborate path of God realization as Krishna may have done in summary in the Bhagavad Gita. He begins from this point of surrender to Krishna. So he's not pursuing the path of karma, jnana, hatha. He begins from the point of the end of material existence, the point where one gives up material attachment. So the maya bodies, they would have the discussion end at that point, giving up material attachment. And when they interpret Bhagavad Gita, they interpret it like that, that yes, you give up the material world and you become, merged with the oneness, like this, who is the basis of Krishna. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us that real spiritual information begins from this point. So what is his contribution? His contribution is that you can actually enter into a relationship with God as his eternal friend. We see that when Arjun was shown the universal form, he asked Krishna to forgive him for his familiarity. But Lord Chaitanya actually goes beyond this platform of friendship to friendship without born reverence in complete freedom and intimacy. Lord Chaitanya also teaches us that you can have a relationship with God as the Father. As Prabhupada points out, there's no other literatures in the world which actually give you this opportunity. No other literatures in the world teach you that actually we can relate to God. We are the Father of God, like that. Not that God is the Father. Because instead of taking from God, which is the usual conception, which is, is still, at least if they're approaching God, that's good. But the idea is to take from God. Give us that daily bread, give this, that, and the other. The devotee is not, let me give you something. Therefore, Mother Yasoda is thinking, Krishna, you must eat. If you don't eat, you'll die. Like this. She's, in great anxiety to feed God. That's that. Further, actually, Prabhupada points out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatest gift is actually Krishna can be treated as one's lover. In that relationship, Krishna actually enjoys that so much that he expresses his inability to reciprocate. So actually, concept is not given by any other acharya before. And his method, as we you said, he doesn't deal with all the step-by-step methods to get to this point. He does away with Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Asanga Yoga. To attain this method, start from the principle of love. Start from that platform. He teaches you. I'll just teach you how to love God. Ultimately, you know, the point of surrender is the point of the beginning of love. And that's where he begins. Now I will teach you how to love. That is not wise time. That also has not been done before. Many people may bandy around the phrase God is love, let us have love for God. In some of the scriptures, especially the Vedic scriptures, there's some theoretical knowledge about that. But actually what love of God is can only be, how to love God and the nature of that love and the process of love in its highest form is only ever been taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And developing that love at the time of death, one who loves the Supreme Lord Krishna, their mind will be fixed on Krishna, and at the time of death they will be transferred to the spiritual world to enjoy in their original spiritual form, loving pastimes in the association of all the residents of the spiritual world with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, as the center. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's blessings. And this is coming through the teachings of Rupa Goswami. These teachings are very, very scientific. Again, they're based upon Vedic understanding. But very, very elevated, very, very confidential. One must hear. Lord Chaitanya taught this process, and that process was compiled into literatures by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are non-different from the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they have supported them all with the Vedic quotations. Very, very scientific. We have to consider that, as Krishna said, himself in the Bhagavad Gita, that understanding me is very, very difficult. Amongst many, many millions of persons, there is hardly one who actually understands me as I am. And even Krishna himself said, very, very difficult. How much more difficult? We cannot even understand Krishna, and in this day and age, people cannot even understand that they're not the body. Well, to speak of understanding Krishna, and if they cannot understand Krishna is so difficult, how can we understand how to associate with him in the highest platform of loving movement? Extremely difficult. Very, very rare understanding. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution is that he gives that understanding very easily, very readily, even though we're actually the most fallen candidates to get that understanding. He is giving, therefore, this highest platform of loving Krishna, and he explains that this is the teaching, these teachings are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and especially in relationship with the gopis of Vrindavan that they actually exhibited. If you want an example of that, you must look to the gopis of Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan. This is where you will get the living examples of this loving the Supreme Lord in his highest way. Now, Rupa Goswami is saying, so you ask the question, how will that understanding and that level of love, which is so, so elevated, which is practically unattainable by millions and millions of very saintly persons, Rupa Goswami says, if you always keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the core of your heart, because people don't keep Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they want to learn to love Krishna, to love God, without keeping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their heart, then it is not possible. But if one then becomes very easy, if one keeps Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the blessing. Rupa Goswami is blessing everyone. That may you have Chaitanya. He's giving. He's already given the blessing. And for all people to come, and Rupa Goswami, and you know, Krishna, his mercy follows his devotee. Rupa Goswami is saying, may you all have the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifest. If you want it, Rupa Goswami is already given. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is already given. It's just a matter of taking. But actually this is the only way. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada describes that we must approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. I'll just read the final verse. I'll read verse 5. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hadini Shati Ajmat Ikatana Api Uvi Pura Deha Vedam Gadoto Chitan Ikam Prakatam Vadanyatat Vayam Jaikam Apam Radhava Kriti Sudharitam Avi Krishna Swarupam. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself in the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. So here again, Lord Krishna Das Kaviraj is describing that the first principle to understand this loving relationship of the highest caliber, which is manifested as an example between the gopis, Radharani and Krishna, we must understand foremost that this is a manifestation of the Dini Shakti. That is the principal understanding. It is a manifestation of the Lord's internal spiritual energy, particularly the Lord's internal spiritual energy, which manifests as Satchidananda, the Ananda, or the pleasure potency personified as Srimati Radharani. It has nothing to do with, you know, why would Krishna want to enjoy in the material world? You know, people think like this. People actually think, well, you know, Krishna is very lusty. You know, and some people say that, oh, when Krishna was a little boy, we worship him like that. And, oh, Krishna is very pure. When he grew up, he became impure, so we don't worship Krishna. But people have so many that, you know, yes, God is showing us the way to enlightenment, to enjoy, you know, material sex life is a good thing. God does it, why can't we? So many different bogus philosophy. But why? If those who are seeking the happiness of Brahma Sukha, the happiness of realization that they are spirits and not matter, coming to become Brahman realized, if they give up everything, if they take sannyas, renounce everything, all the activities of anashram, you know, any spherical, you know, material attachment, they give it all up in order to, you know, experience Brahma Sukham, the happiness of the spiritual platform of Brahman, or, you know, beyond material happiness. How can anyone possibly think that Krishna, who is Parabrahman, he is already the Supreme Brahman, why would he search out happiness in the material world? Does that make sense? That, you know, someone is giving up everything material in order to qualify to taste just a small particle of spiritual pleasure. And Krishna himself is the Parabrahman. And yet, for happiness, although he is already Parabrahman, he is coming down to enjoy with material activity. Do people think like that? So, you know, therefore in this verse here, Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining that one should understand the main, you know, keep firmly fixed. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this love of the Brajavasis up to its highest point manifest in Srimati Radharani. It is a manifestation of the Haladini Shakti, Krishna's spiritual energy. It has nothing to do with the material energy. If you approach it in that way and therefore become detached from all material activities, because Srila Prabhupada says that the test that you're tasting spiritual happiness is if you give up the lower happiness. And Prabhupada says, if you're hearing the pastimes of Krishna and the Brajavasis, and you're becoming agitated by lusty desire, he says, stop it. Don't hear it. Stop it, he says again. Don't be fooled. That therefore a person is not qualified. They have to, there are preliminary instructions by the guru to get them off the bodily platform, then, you know, to come to the platform of the soul and gradually to perceive the spirituality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. You know, if that is not there, stop hearing. If it's, you know, but if one is hearing, and the result which should be coming is that one is becoming detestful of, you know, the lusty affairs in the material world, they're seeing the pure, you know, happiness of the residents of the spiritual world, enjoying this loving relationship, just so pure and so sweet, and in the absolutely bathing in the sunshine of the spiritual energy, that happiness. You know, that's what one should be feeling if one is absorbing oneself in these pastimes under the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, people don't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't understand Krishna, they, because they don't follow, you know, the Guru, the Six Goswamis. As Prabhupada said, he saw personally, there was one person who was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, great scholar. He was known as a great scholar of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he said, and Prabhupada heard it, that, but this is not real, this is not a fact, it's, you can take it as like a story. Because he had no understanding. He couldn't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they're not following. So, I'll just get to the last verse we're going to read. But there, Krishna Das Kaviraj is explaining this love of God which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about. We must approach it that it is the spiritual energy of the Lord, the Lord reciprocating with the spiritual energy. If you approach it like that, and the test is that you're coming to the spiritual platform, is you must be coming the test full of lusty desires in the material world, the affairs of lusty men and women in the material world. That is the test that you're actually properly understanding the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this very, very elevated platform. The final verse, Shivateya Panaya Mahima Kitrisho Panayiva Swajogina Bhutan Madhuri Ma Kitrisho Vama Diya Asukam Chasha Matamuva Kitrisham Vativa Tarvavadya Samadhyani Sachikarva Sandho Harinindu. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, a appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. Now here we get a glimpse of the exalted spiritual stature of Radharani's love. That Krishna is the Supreme Lord, he is omniscient, he is all-knowing. But he's testifying that Radharani's love is so unlimitedly great that I'm finding it difficult to understand. Actually, you know, he understands, but her love is increasing and of such greatness that he is very, very, very much attracted to her. So in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the omniscient, all-knowing Lord, is considering that Radharani's love in separation from the Supreme Lord is so great and unfathomable. How could we dare to say that, oh yes, this is non-different from the lusty affairs of the material world? It is the same thing. It appears to be the same thing. You know, it's the difference between gold and iron. They're both metals, but you know, they're actually worlds apart. So, you know, just to sum up, Prabhupada explains that if you approach someone, even an ordinary friend, and you ask them, so, you know, tell us a little bit about your, you know, relationship with your, you know, wife or your husband, you know, how are things going, you know, what is your, you know, how is your relationship with each other? You know, people are not even going to tell you, you know, unless you develop a relationship. If you actually develop a relationship with that person, they actually will. They'll sit and tell you, you know, things are good, things are not so good, you know, what have you. But there's some separation. I don't know how I'll get by. But if you don't have a relationship with that person, they're not going to tell you. And if somehow or another you overhear it, you still won't understand it. So, you know, these pastimes with Lord Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani is so exalted. One must establish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, and then this understanding will come. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is showing that although he is Krishna himself, these loving affairs between Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the Vrajavasis, manifestations of the Ludini Shakti, is so exalted that he is personally, you know, very, very much attracted to it and desiring to taste that sweetness. So in essence, we can sum up his three, you know, questions, that he wants to know what is the actual way in which Radharani loves me. You know, in other words, her love in the mood of separation, sometimes anger, it is so exalted, it is so wonderful, it is so relishable. You know, why am I this? I am the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yet I am very much attracted to this. He should be self-sufficient, he's God. But he's attracted, you know, although I am the Supreme Lord, all opulences that I am attracted to. What is the nature of this love that I'm so attracted to? And also he is asking that why is Radharani so much in love with me? What is she tasting? What is my special qualification and the qualification of my love that is attracting her? And when Radharani experiences my love, what is she actually feeling? So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relishes, tastes, and immerses himself in the exalted loving affairs of his pleasure potency, performing pastimes in the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the role of a devotee, his own devotee, the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani, and Radhashri in past times. And he did that through the Sankirtan movement. And he is also giving us that opportunity. So just to sum up that section, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, after describing these 14 verses, he offers his obeisances unto Madana Mohan, who is Krishna himself, who helps us, gives us the blessings that we can establish our relationship with Krishna. And then he offers his obeisances unto Govinda, and so that asking the Lord to please accept us, engage us, and accept our service. And then he finally offers his obeisances to the Gopinath Deity, who is the master and proprietor of the gopis. So Srila Prabhupada paraphrases that just as Krishna attracted the gopis by the sweet sound of his flute, he will also attract the reader's mind by that transcendental vibration. So in essence, this Chaitanya Charitamrita is, you know, synonymous with Krishna's flute, which is attracting our minds to Krishna, in the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind is attracted to Krishna. So this is the wonderful opportunity we have to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Guru, through the Panchatattva, and the teachings which are presented. Thank you very much. Anyone has a couple of quick questions?